proclaimed the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast about Jewish Bible exposition. We have been looking at God's servant as described in Isaiah chapter 52 and Isaiah chapter 53. The fourth verse of Isaiah 53 continued the exposition initiated in the previous verse. The prophet penned these words about God's servant, quote, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted," unquote. At this juncture, the text introduced two personal pronouns, the words "are" and "we." For those who would argue that God's servant portrayed the Jewish nation, the presence of these pronouns presents a problem. If the term "he" in Isaiah chapter 53 depicted the Jews as bearing griefs, who then did the terms "are" and "we" represent in that passage? Some commentators might contend that those latter two pronouns portrayed the kings, those who were mentioned in the final verse of Isaiah 52. But that interpretation would limit the effect of what God's servant was foretold to have done. Why would that servant focus on ministering only to Gentile monarchs? Especially in light of the statement found in Isaiah chapter 40 that, quote, "The nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance," unquote. Chali, the Hebrew word for griefs, included more than metaphysical distresses. That noun could also involve suffering on account of affliction or calamity, as it did in the fifth and sixth chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chali also served as a synonym for the term makov, which is rendered as sorrows, in the same verse in Isaiah 53. By including both words in the same sentence, Isaiah emphasized the extent of the servant's suffering. Also, he emphasized the agonies that that servant went through. Agonies experienced on behalf of Isaiah's people, the Jewish nation. The prophet shifted his emphasis to how the Jewish people would react to the servant's sufferings. He wrote, quote, "We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted," unquote. The Jewish nation beheld the effects that Jesus Christ's afflictions had upon him. A Jewish crowd in Jerusalem saw him wounded and bleeding, bearing his cross to Calvary. They viewed Jesus Christ's distended body as he hung on that cross. Indeed, some of the bystanders wept for him as the daughters of Jerusalem did. Others, however, reviled him, a group that included the two thieves who were executed at the same time. Furthermore, the Jewish nation believed that God himself had inflicted such punishment upon his servant. In connection with Jesus Christ, they might have argued that he had brought his miseries upon himself through, as they perceived it, his false claims to be the Son of God. At the foot of the cross, the chief priests and their associates exclaimed, quote, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God," unquote. Their statement was recorded in the 27th chapter of Matthew, indicating that they believed that Jesus Christ merited the ill treatment he received. However, they were mistaken in that regard. Jesus Christ was not suffering for his own sins, but for the sins of the world. The next verse in Isaiah chapter 53 will provide that explanation. It will show why God's servant suffered and on behalf of whom he suffered these agonies. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast about Jewish Bible interpretation.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.